Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, and this is the 12th Hour Apostolic Center Sermon Congregation. Now, down to the 12th Hour. We just pray that today we're going to have a good sermon that will enlighten everybody even more about righteousness by grace, righteousness by faith, and the righteousness of the Spirit by the V.C. Holler. July 31st, 1948. Today is July 3rd, 2025, or it is the ninth day of the fourth lunar month, 2029. This is once again July 31st, 1948, Vicky Holler, Jesus Sermon, Righteousness by Grace. Righteousness by faith. There is much talk among us about righteousness by grace and righteousness by faith. Also about the righteousness of the Yahshua. But of what profit will all this talk be unto us, unless we do something to find out what these really are and how to make them our own? Or we should therefore not fail in this, and we cannot fail if we seek Yahshua wholeheartedly, as we study through the concrete example which the Spirit of the Truth has placed at my hands. To begin the study, I shall read the verses of the Scripture, first from the Romans, and then from Hebrews, Romans 11:6. And if by the grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise grace, there's no more grace. But if it be of the works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise works, there's no more works. We are called into the election of the Yahweh, says the Scripture, and because of any good, not because of any good works of our own, but through the Yahweh's grace, we are therefore invited to become and typical apostolic believers of the apostles' first century, in the first century, for the children, as the children of the Yahweh, not because we deserve to be adopted by Him, but because of the favor toward us. Indeed, there is no other way by which we can be saved, for we all have sinned, and therefore how can we be saved except He, through His grace, forgive us our sin and start us out anew. This is what is called a new birth. For the sum of which is that we deserve no credit for coming into the household of the Yahweh. For the credit is His. By our natural birth, we are born sinners. But by our spiritual birth, we are born righteous. As born sinners, we serve sin. But as born righteous, we serve righteousness. Hence it is not by the works, but by the grace that we are what we are. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. By faith, not by the sight, we know that we are the sons of Yahweh, citizens of his government, and as such, we submit ourselves unto his rule and love. As such, we honor and revere him as our Savior and King. Let us now, for example, go back unto Noah's day. Noah lived in an excellent and exceedingly wicked world. For it was so wicked that as merciful as the Yahweh is, he could no longer contain himself while the wickedness went on. At long last, he commanded Noah to build an ark and promised that all, whether the righteous or wicked, who would go into the ark would find deliverance from the awful flood, since they did not merit such a favor. They were therefore offered deliverance from the flood only through the righteousness of grace. For they were to be credited with the righteousness and be given, not which they did not merit. Thus we see grace taking occasion to save sinners, even back in the Noah day, and so where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Romans 5:20. And Abraham's time, it says that also only about 400 years after the flood, the world had sunk deep in idol worship. And the Yahweh commanded Abraham to get out of his father's house, out of his idolatrous country, and to go into another land, a land that was for his own and for the Yahweh's people only, as any good or bad who joined Abraham and his Yahweh were as freely permitted to enter into the promised land as were the antediluvians permitted to enter the ark. For they too, therefore, were given righteousness by grace. That is, they were privileged to take their stand for the Yahweh, with the Abraham, and to share the blessing. and not because of any good works of theirs, having endured unto the end, Abraham, whose faith failed not, became the father of all, who through the righteousness by the grace attain unto the righteousness by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua of the new and living race, Hebrews 10:19-20. Hence, you see that righteousness, that the righteousness by the grace starts out into the righteousness. I should say it starts us out into the righteousness by the faith of the order, which is the righteousness of Yeshua. Later in history came the time that whosoever good and bad alike would join the exodus out of Egypt, found deliverance on the Pharaoh's taskmaster, and from his pursuing army. Thus, deliverance they obtained, not because they deserve deliverance, but because of the grace of Yahweh towards them. See Exodus 20:1-8. Thus, they all were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto the Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the Yeshua, the Messiah, 1 Corinthians 10:1-4. Yes, through the righteousness by the grace, none were excluded from the participating in the blessing then offered, having been given righteousness by the grace, insufficient to cross the sea, and having come into the desert, they were then given the finest chances to exercise righteousness by the faith, but only those who did exercise righteousness by the faith lived on and entered into the promised land. Those, who made no more use of their faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant in the desert than they did in Egypt, perished in the wilderness. Finally came the time for the faithful to possess the land, and so it was that only those whose righteousness by the faith sustained them crossed the river Jordan. None other did, and for our benefit the apostle has left this counsel. For the apostle has left this counsel. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of the entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in them that heard it, Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. So far in our study, we have seen that Yahweh is impartial, that he has an endeavor to save all people at all times in the same way as he is endeavoring to save us, that he is not experimenting with himself and not saving us one way and others another way. For the kingdom was at last set up in the promised land, and the people were left to continue in the righteousness by faith. But as in the times past, faith in the blood of everlasting covenant again of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, again waned, and the nation became unbearably wicked, so wicked that Yahweh could no longer tolerate it to be called by his name while living in his land. Forthwith, both the temple and the palace of the spiritual and the physical were leveled to the ground, and the people were carried away. For the Yahweh nevertheless clung to his people as a mother clings to her children. And after 7 decades, having once again extended to them righteousness by the grace, Yahweh gave them the opportunity to return unto their homeland, where they enjoyed revival and reformation, but only for a little while, rather than continue in the righteousness by the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, they fell from grace and became 7 times worse than their predecessors. Thus it was that if Yahweh were then to save any one member of the nation, he could do it only by the offering of another chance of a grace. This time he gave the gift of his only son, Yahshua, the Savior, upon whom the iniquities of us all were laid. And hence, as mean and as wicked as were both the Jew and Gentile, they were all invited unto the greatest gift of grace, the grace which only by the life of the Son of Yahweh can give. For the apostles themselves were not any good, not for any good deed of their own, but through this gift of the righteousness by the grace, privileged to partake of the righteousness by the faith. That's by the blood of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19. And so the unjust, the violators of the law of Moses, were always through righteousness by the grace been invited unto some to come into righteousness by the faith of the blood of the everlasting Son of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19. The only righteousness that actually receives the reward of the church's righteousness by the faith of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19, and of the eternal life. Now, it says the inspiration, for the just shall live by the faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10:38. For the just, you see, live by the faith, but the unjust by grace. Grace, you know, is not the final touch of the salvation. For the grace plus faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua has a new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. Plus the righteousness of Yahshua, or earned eternal life. For the law, moreover, does not save. It condemns sin and upholds righteousness. No, it's the blood of the Yahshua that saves. That goes without sin. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no faith be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:20. Being already a sinner, man is by the law condemned to death. Only by the grace, therefore, can he be set free from the common damnation of the law. For the sinner, consequently, is a lawbreaker, and the righteous is a lawkeeper. Grace, therefore, pardons the sinner, lets him out of the prison, so to speak, and gives him another chance to overcome sin. That faith keeps him free. For the sum of the matter is this: righteousness through grace is righteousness through pardon, while righteousness through faith in the blood of everlasting Son of Yahshua is righteousness through the behaving and keeping the commandments of Yahshua according to the sanctuary service laid out in Leviticus 23:1-44 by the observing of all the feast days at their appointed time in the year, which we have 70 altogether, 52 holy Sabbath, seventh day Sabbath, and 6 annual feasts, and 12 monthly feasts, the new moon Sabbath, crowned with the righteousness of Yahshua. Let's read that again. For the righteousness through the grace is the same as the righteousness through the pardon, while righteousness through the faith is with the righteousness through the keeping of the statutes and commandments of the Yahshua and the Father that did it collectively, according to Leviticus 23:1-4, and it is crowned with the righteousness of the Yeshua, to repeat grace pardons our sins, and assist us free, and gives us another chance for the making of life, of the life what it ought to be. Consequently, if you are under the grace, you are not under the law, for grace has made you free from the penalty which the law imposes. Having failed for the obtaining of the righteousness by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua, the Jew, that is, the tribe of Judah, the at the cross, the Pharisees and the Sadducees again fell from grace. They fell from grace coming out of the wilderness of Moses 1,500 years earlier. 1,500 years later, they fell from grace again, rejecting Yahshua when he came to this earth. Okay. Being by law condemned to eternal death, they were again given grace, a second chance, through the death of the Son of Yahweh. Those who availed themselves of the grace came into the apostolic congregation of Israel, of the 12 apostles, henceforth, to remain free and were to sin no more, save through a mistake, mishap, or through short-sightedness, sins of which we are forgiven if we do not continue. Therein. My little children, says the inspiration, these things write on you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth the word in him, verily is the love of the Yahweh perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, 1 John 2:1-5. Later in history came the time that whosoever good and bad alike joined the Exodus out of Egypt, found deliverance from the Pharaoh's taskmaster and from his pursuing army. This deliverance they obtained not because they deserved deliverance, but because of the grace of the Yahweh toward them. See Ezekiel 20:1-8. Thus they all were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the Yahshua. 1 Corinthians 10:1-4. Yes, through the righteousness by the grace, none were excluded from participating in the blessings then offered, having been given righteousness by the grace sufficient for the crossing over the Red Sea, and having come into the desert, they were then given the finest chance to exercise righteousness by the faith, but only those who did exercise righteousness by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua lived on and entered into the promised land. Those, though, who made no more use of the faith of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua in the desert than they did in the Egypt, perished in the wilderness. Finally came the time for the faithful to possess the land. And so it was that only those whose righteousness by the faith sustained them crossed the River Jordan. None others did, and for our benefit, the apostle has left this counsel. Let us therefore fear as a promise being left us of the entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10, and them that heard it, Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. So far in our study, we have seen that the Yahweh is impartial, that he has endeavored to save all people at all times in the same way as he is endeavoring to save us, that he is not experimenting with himself, not saving us one way and others another way. For the kingdom was at last set up in the promised land, and the people were left to continue in the righteousness by the faith. But as in the times past, faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua again waned, and the nation became unbearably wicked. In fact, so wicked that Yahweh could no longer tolerate their wickedness to be called by his name while living in his land. Forthwith, both the temple and the palace, the spiritual and the physical, were leveled to the ground, and the people were carried away. Yahweh nevertheless clung to his people as a mother that clings to her children. And after 7 decades, having once again extended unto them righteousness by the grace, Yahweh gave them the opportunity to return unto their homeland, where they enjoyed revival and reformation only for a little while, rather than continue in the righteousness by the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10. They fell from grace and may be changed seven times worse than their predecessors. Thus it was that if the Yahweh was in to save any one member of the nation, he could do it only by the offering of another chance of the grace. This time, he gave the gift of his only son, Yahshua, the Messiah, as the Savior upon whom the iniquities of us all were laid. And hence, as mean and as wicked as were both Jew and Gentile, they were all invited to the greatest gift of grace, their grace which only the life of the Son of the Yahweh can give, for the apostles themselves were not for any good deed of their own, but through this gift of the righteousness righteousness by the grace and the faith of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, as privileged to be partakers of the righteousness by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews chapter 10, directly. And so, the unjust, as the violators of the law of Moses, have always through the righteousness by the grace been invited to come into the righteousness by the faith as the only righteousness that actually receives the reward of the Yahshua's righteousness of the eternal life. Now says the inspiration, the just shall live by his faith in the blood. Okay. Let's do it again. For the just shall live by his faith through the blood let's do it again. Now it says the inspiration. For the just shall live by faith, by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. Only if any man draws back, though, from having once started on that trail, the righteous by faith in his blood, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10:38. For the just, you see, live by the faith, but the unjust by the grace. Grace, you know, is not the final touch of the salvation. No, grace is not. Grace is the step before the final touch, and that is the final touch is faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua directly, Hebrews chapter 10, 19-20, through the new and living way, that is to say, in his blood of the Yahshua. Okay, so faith, you know, is not, that grace is not the final touch of the salvation. For grace plus faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant plus the righteousness of the Yahshua are what earn eternal life. For the law, moreover, does not say. Well, that's a redundant remark. That's in a way I call that just unreasonable to keep bringing that up. The law does not say. if you would read all the scriptures in the Bible that connects up to the word saved, you'll find out it's only the faith in the blood of the everlasting, through his blood, the everlasting, the covenant of the Yahshua is the only thing that saves. Establish that once and for all and stop being redundant, saying the law, moreover, does not save. That's like you don't have anything else better to say, D.T. Holland. For it condemns sin, yes. The Ten Commandments by itself, yes, condemns sin and upholds righteousness. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no faith, no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:20. Being already a sinner, man is by the law condemned to death. Only by the grace, therefore, can he be set free from the condemnation of the law. For the sinner, consequently, is a lawbreaker. Okay. And the righteous is a lawkeeper. Grace, therefore, pardon the sinner, lets him out of prison, so to speak, and gives him another chance for the overcoming sin. Really, faith keeps him free. The sum of the matter is this: for the righteousness through the grace is righteousness through the pardon of the Yahweh, only really based on the Day of Atonement. For the sanctuary that is operating in heaven exclusively, while righteousness through the faith and the blood of the everlasting Son of Yahshua is righteousness through the keeping of all of his statutes and judgments and commandments, precepts, and laws of Leviticus 23:1-44. And it is crowned with the righteousness of the Yahshua. To be repeated, grace pardons our sin and sets us free. And gives us another chance to make life what it ought to be. Consequently, if you are under grace, you are not under the law. Let's do that again. Consequently, if you are with the grace of the everlasting covenant, first time I've used that phrase, the grace with the everlasting covenant, or you are not with the law of condemnation, are under the law of condemnation. For grace has made you free from the penalty which the law imposes. Poor Adventist ministers having a hard time explaining righteousness by grace and righteousness by faith. And they never did make it clear, including D.T. Holland. But D.T. Holland was just repeating the Adventist, what I just read you. Having failed for the obtaining of the righteousness by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, the Pharisees, Jews, up at the cross, again fell from their grace, and being by the law condemned unto eternal death, they were again given grace, a second chance, to the death of the Son of the Yahweh. For those who avail themselves of the grace came into the apostolic church of the cross, henceforth to remain free, and were to sin no more, save through mistake, mishap, or through short-sightedness. Sins of which we are forgiven if we do not continue. Therein. My little children, says inspiration, these things write on you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua, the righteous. And he is our propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of the Yahweh perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. 1 John 2:1-5. Later in history came the time that whosoever good and bad alike joined the exodus out of Egypt, found deliverance from the Pharaoh's taskmasters, strike that last statement I just made. Let's move over to page 8. I was on page 5 where I left off. It says, moreover, the law does not save, for it condemns sin. And upholds the righteous. Okay, I think I've already read that. All right. Let's move on down to the last paragraph of page 8. Having failed for the attaining of the righteousness by the faith, the Pharisees, Jesus at the cross, again fell from grace, and being by the law condemned unto eternal death, they were again given grace, a second chance, through the death of the Son of Yahshua. Those who avail themselves of the grace came into the apostolic congregation of the apostles, henceforth to remain free, and were to sin no more, save through the mistake, mishap, or through the short-sightedness. Sins of which we are forgiven if we do not continue. My little children, well, I'll go ahead and do this again. My little children, says inspiration, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now that's the confessed sins of the whole world, not just all the sins that the wicked are committed also. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that said, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. For whosoever keepeth his word, and him verily is the love of the Father Yahweh perfected. Thereby know we that we are in him. 1 John 2:1-5. For the apostolic congregation, though, did not long continue in the grace, only it also in the time fell even lower than the Jewish church. Necessarily something had to be done for her also, if any of her members were to be made free. And if the Yahweh was still to have his church on the earth, unquestionably this something was none other than the Protestant Reformation. But since we all know that the Reformation has not yet accomplished its divinely appointed purpose, has not reached the accord and faith which the church enjoyed on the day of the Pentecost, it is obvious that another attempt at the revival and reformation is an absolute necessity. But to know all this for a certainty, we must turn to the more sure word of the prophecy, unto the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 4:1-2. Thou also, son of man, take thee a child, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast them out against it. Set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Here the prophet was commanded to portray a city, a Jerusalem, the capital of the church. This Jerusalem is not really the geographical Jerusalem, but the city that stands for what the Jerusalem itself stood for the church scattered throughout the Gentile nations. Moreover, Ezekiel himself was actually told that this symbolization is concerning the church while scattered among the Gentiles. See Ezekiel 4:13. Furthermore, Ezekiel is commanded to lay siege against it, to take it now, since this Jerusalem stands for the church while among the Gentiles, and since Yahweh commands his own servant, the prophet, to besiege it, to protest against it, and to take it, it is there for an object that the church, the Jerusalem here portrayed, is shown as the having been drawn away from the Yahweh, and that Yahweh is endeavoring to rescue her, to effect a reformation in her midst. For such cause, therefore, is Ezekiel's siege. Finally, since the apostolic congregation in Jerusalem, away from its original geographical location, was for the first time in the history so attacked or besieged by the Martin Luther, by the Protestant Reformation, with the fulfillment of this prophecy, obviously commences with the Lutheran 1500 A.D. of the Catholic Martinet and the Catholic Church, for he was called out of the Catholic Church to effect the Reformation against the Catholic Church. For this fact will be seen throughout the chapter as we continue to study it verse by verse. Ezekiel 4:3. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pen and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged. And thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign unto the house of Israel. For the wall of iron, illustrated by the iron pen, is a perfect symbol of the separation that existed between Luther and the so-called Jerusalem, the church. This was to be a sign, not unto Judah, as the identical two-tribe kingdom among the Gentiles, but for the Israel, unto the members of the antithetical 10-tribe kingdom, while scattered among the nations. Ezekiel 4, 4 and 5. Thou thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according unto the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it. Thou shalt hear their iniquity, for I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity according unto the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. This is to lay one's iniquity upon someone else is to free the sinner from the penalty which he deserves. It is an act which credits the sinner with the righteousness which he has not earned. And this is what the inspiration calls righteousness by the grace. Previously, the iniquity of the Jews was laid upon the Yahshua, and the nation was given a chance to step out of her death cell and to stand free in the Yahshua. For the many, not all, then avail themselves of this righteousness by the grace and stepped into the righteousness by the faith, where this of the same grace, you see, was again affected, was offered to the church in the 16th century for to lay the iniquity of the house of the Israel upon the Ezekiel means practically the same as to lay the iniquity of us all upon the Yeshua. For this grace to the Ezekiel continues 390 days years later, Ezekiel 4:6, after this period of the time, the house of the Israel, the Protestant churches, there is their own iniquity, that is, after this given period of time runs out, then this extended grace ceases, and there is to be no other. For the Ezekiel then bears their sins no longer. Then is the time in which they must hold fast unto the righteousness of the faith and the blood of the Yeshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, if they are to be rewarded with the Yeshua's righteousness and with the eternal life. This brings interest in this time contest at the 11th alcohol.